Hi, this is Patrick Reed, and this is How to Be a Christian Worker podcast, Views from the Pulpit and the Pew. And I'm here with Eric Blauer, who is my co-host.
And, hello.
Hello, yeah. And we're just getting started with this thing, and so we just thought it would be good to just introduce what we have in mind. And what we kind of envision for the information and kind of what it all means. Mm. So I'll just start out again, since I'm starting anyways, and I just kind of give an idea about what the title of the podcast really means. So we were talking about this earlier. You know, in some ways, if I say how to be a Christian worker, to some, that might mean how to be a good worker in the church, yeah, for Christ, right? And but really, the intention of the podcast is, from my perspective, is to say, you know, how do I be in the work world and be a Christian? Hmm. And that's kind of what I'm getting at with my hope in this discussion. And so we're going to the point of today's podcast is really to introduce each other and, you know, and have Eric, you introduce yourself, and I'm going to introduce you a little bit too, and vice versa. And we can kind of talk about some of the things that we are going to be talking about both today and in the future. So why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about you.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Name's Eric Blauer. I am a husband to Liella of be 29 years.
Wow.
This July. Have 4 kids, one left at home who's 19, and we have a church that we started in 2006. So first senior pastor role for the last 13 years. And I'm 40, I'll be 49 this August, and love the ministry, have been in ministry since I was 19, 25 plus of those years full time. And the desire that I have for this subject and wanting to be a part of this subject and this podcast specifically is improving the ability for myself as someone who represents maybe the pulpit part of this podcast, engaging in conversations that help maybe bring understanding better to the challenges that the church has in translating the work of the church to the everyday life of everyone that's a part of the church, and how to maybe extend and expand those conversations where there's blind spots. And as we said in some of the preliminary work here, as a pastor who's been out of the main workforce for so many decades, I recognize that there are blind spots and areas of pastoral life that I think are weaker by being displaced from the everyday realities of today's work environment for people in the pews. And so the best way, or one of the best ways to help with that blind spot, is hearing the voices and interacting with the subject matters that matter and that are, you know, things that they are facing in their day-to-day life. Which is difficult because obviously as a pastor, you're thinking about what do people need to hear? What does the Bible want them to know? And then you're coming from this kind of top-down kind of place and then hope that you can help them disseminate and understand and practice that. And there's not often a number of opportunities or platforms to have this kind of engagement peer-to-peer and have these discussions. So that's why I'm interested in, some of the reasons I'm interested in being a part of this.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. So, when we started first talking about this, I approached you in the parking lot after one of your sermons, and I said, hey, I got this idea where, you know, we can talk about all of the subjects that, you know, pastors aren't connecting with their people in the pews on. And you said, wait a minute. Yeah. No, actually, so one of the reasons why I think you are a great person to talk with, like you said, first of all, that you would actually consider this a peer-to-peer conversation, because I've never been and I'll introduce myself a little bit more, but I've never been in a pastoral role, you know, per se. I've done a little bit of work with speaking on you know, to high school kids and things like that, but so when I one of the things I feel most comfortable with you is you're able to take this sort of conversation and make it, you know, not personal, but also applicable. Mm. And so I think that that's not necessarily true of all sort of leaders in churches that I you know, and this is just my sort of outward opinion looking in, but sometimes I think that there's a lot of criticism for pastors, and I think it's fair to say that, you know, pastors have to put up with a lot of this, that, or the other. Sort of, we don't like the music, or, you know, the color on the, you know, inside of the church is wrong, that kind of stuff. But I think when it comes down to it, when we first had that conversation, I think you saw that this is really about us connecting and making our connection better. Mm-hmm. And so I'll introduce myself. So I'm Patrick Reed. I'm I guess we're giving ages now.
It might add a point of relevance that's to good. Some
okay,
people.
Yeah. So that's fine. So I'm 40 years old, and I also have four kids, and my kids are young and married. I'm married, of course. I guess it's not of course. I am married.
Not today.
Yeah, I'm married. To Nikki, and so we have our four young kids, and so I work my work. I think given the topic, I'll talk about my work life just a little bit. So I've done a variety of different types of work, most recently in my career now is I work in medicine. I'm a PA. So physician assistant, to those of you who don't know what that is. And so I work in a subspecialty. And previous to becoming a PA or going to PA school, which I've been for about 6 years, I was a medical assistant for a time. I worked in what they call wraparound, which is basically social work for families. I did that for a couple of years. I did foster care I worked in foster care programs for a couple of years. And I did, so this will throw a lot of people off. I did mortgages for a couple of years as well. So in my sort of beginning work life, I did some business, which I think is interesting because there are a lot of people in medicine who know nothing about business, and I think that comes to bite people, because you know, administrators in medical offices have a real difficult time speaking with providers a lot of times, and that's because they do such opposite jobs, and so. You know, one of the reasons why I'm motivated to do this is because, and kind of what came to mind is that I noticed I've moved around a lot in a lot of positions, and one of the things that I've noticed just in my career path is that, you know, I'm always trying to apply what's what I hear from. Not only from you, Eric, but also from, I listen to a lot of, you know, podcasts. I listen to the radio and, you know, I hear a lot of pastors give a lot of sermons. And it's all good, but sometimes I feel like there's you know, there's a little bit of a disconnect between, you know, what I'm trying to accomplish in my field and, you know, for the people that I'm working for, and, you know, what I'm hearing on Sunday. And I think I completely agree with what you were saying before, which is that, you know, on Sunday, there's just not an opportunity to talk about all the things that are out there to talk about. And I know that you're active, you know, blogging and online, you know, writing. You write a lot, which is something I really appreciate about you. And there's just, you know, that's part of an expression, in my opinion, that what I see as part of an expression of, you know, you saying, you know, there's just not the time on Sunday morning to speak of all things that need to be spoken of in the world, whether it's politics or other things. But, you know, back to the subject matter that we're talking about here, to me, how to be a Christian worker means how to be a worker and be a Christian in that work world. And so, you know, understanding sort of the kind of where you're coming from as a pastor and talking about, you know, how you see some of the subjects that we've talked about and we're going to be talking about, and how you would approach some of the things that I sort of deal with on a regular basis, or even just randomly some things that just happen at work, you know. Sometimes I think we want to put a pastor in our pocket and just say, you know, on our right shoulder and just be able to ask that question, like, what should I do right now? And of course, we always have the Holy Spirit and you know, Jesus for that too. But this is an opportunity, I think.
Why don't you give a rundown of some of the topics that you wrote down that you feel would be valuable to have conversations revolve around? I think that would be helpful to give people kind of a bird's eye view of where we're going in some of these conversations.
Yeah.
And help articulate in a more clear way maybe the heart of what we're really trying to accomplish in the topic of the Christian worker.
Yeah.
Because like we said earlier, and you referenced, that title can mean a lot of different things to people depending on what kind of familiarity they have with the church. They may assume that we're talking about how to be a better servant or volunteer within the ministries or mission of the church, or that the primary focus of everyone's is to be some kind of missionary in whatever context they have. And a lot of these kind of conversations are given perspectives in the church world and or assumptions, and we're trying to clarify some of the conflicts that we're having on what is really expected of the Christian who's living their lives in the business or the work world, or and where does that disconnect often happen with pastors who appear sometimes to be trying to create pastors or missionaries versus serving the people that they're ministering to and equipping them in the lives that they have. And different people can bring a lot of different opinions about that, because some people would probably say that the main focus of the church or the pulpit is to make missionaries out of people in the pews. And that's where I think some of these interesting conversations can maybe push at both ends of that spectrum and try to find some common ground of understanding in that. So I think the topics that you listed, why don't you run a few of those off?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think we could. So as far as the topics that we had talked about so far, so the first one. Is speaking from experience. Do our different experiences, either worker or pastor, unduly influence our ability to hear or speak clearly to the other? So that's one thing that I think we'll go in more depth on. Shouldn't everyone be pastors? Does the Bible support any other area of life post Christ that pastors, disciples, or leaders? Is there value in work other than discipling? Maybe we'll bring in some elders to speak on this and just other workers, because I think that the opinions of a group in this, some of these topics will be important. So we'll explore that. And then along those same lines, the idea of shouldn't everyone be pastors? Does the Bible encourage people to not be pastors? If so, how does the Bible encourage people to not be pastors and be workers instead that are not pastoring? And again, like you said, I think that definitions, how we use that term pastoring, how we use the term discipleship, those are important. What I'm referencing is a job title. And I think that's to be clear, we can, if we were talking about pastoring or discipling people in the workforce, we can also talk about that. How difficult is that, really? In my experience, it's been very, very difficult, and we can explore that more later. I think that's one thing that maybe, because there's just not time to talk about this subject particularly, I have to take a step back, because I think the reason that we in our church don't necessarily, and I think a lot of churches that I respect don't necessarily talk about these subjects, is because we're not topical. We're not doing things topically. We're reading through the Bible. If you're going to read through the Bible and do your liturgy based upon sort of going through the Bible verse by verse in some ways, then, there's a lot of subjects you have to cover. And, otherwise you have a tendency maybe to get onto topics like this, and that's not necessarily maybe the choice that you've made as a pastor to go about your liturgy, your organization. So one of the other topics that we talked about was top 10 most annoying. And I think this is a good one. This is one that actually I think you suggested, which is, what are the most annoying things that from the pew we hear from the pulpit, the things that are just like, ugh, they just grate us from the if we hear that from the pulpit again, we might just, have to bite our lip or maybe go get a coffee mid-service. And then on the other hand, what are the most, there must be some just really annoying things that you hear from the pews.
Wait a minute. So that's why everybody's going to get coffee and go to the bathroom? Now I understand the room better.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to speak for anyone else, nor am I going to say that I don't need a coffee occasionally in mid.
So every time you go to get a coffee now, I'm going to be like, what did I just say?
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't want to give you that impression. Okay. Yeah, right. Now I'm doomed. Next time I get up to get a coffee in the middle of the service, I'm doomed.
I'll be like, Patrick, did I say something that?
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you right now. Yeah. No. So that's a good thought, and I think it'll be interesting to hear different people's, and we'll probably have some interviews there as well. Another thing that we talked about was mission. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, kind of the mission of the pastor and the mission of the worker. I'm sort of separating these two folks by occupation, and I think that the question being, is the mission of both the worker and the pastor the same, or is it different? And so we could talk about that in more depth, and along the lines of just working in the world, what do you do when coworkers are negative? If you're a worker out there and you are in a situation where, you're dealing with negativity in the workplace, on and on and on, and it just doesn't seem to end, or you don't have the tools you feel like to be able to deal with that, you know, what do you do in that situation? How do you always move on? So we will talk about that. You know, what do you do when managers ask too much? I've been a part of organizations when there doesn't seem to be a limit for what managers may ask you to do, or administrators for that matter. And you know, their invasion of privacy, invasion of space, invasion of time. And I think in the business world and in the medical world, there are some things that we assume about our positions when we take them that are, you know, practically we know we're going to be giving up our time to be doing some things. When you work not by the hour, but you work on a salary, that's another, you know, question that comes into play. And when you work for yourself, there's another question, you know, that I don't necessarily have to deal with that now. But, you know, so I think, you know, some discussion with some business owners and some people who are, you know, trying to manage that time, you know, that will be important as well. So we'll talk about that. This is maybe, I don't know if this is this next subject is really a more my annoyance or if it's, you know, generational. I've heard different perspectives, but meetings, who benefits from meetings and how do you handle it when you aren't the one who benefits from meetings? This is just sort of a practical question in the work world. Like, you know, what if your job is just constantly meetings, and you're just kind of, you know, if you just got to sit through it and you know, what do you do in that situation? So maybe that's just a little bit of practicality there. Another one that we had talked about was the subject of starting work and finishing work. So how do you start in a job and be a good example of Christ? You know, how do you put this example forward and not burn bridges, but build bridges? And I think that both in the Christian world, my observation is both in the church, so people I know from the church and people outside the church, there's just a variance of people who do this well and people who do this terribly. And so I think that, you know, providing some discussion about that might be helpful. So, and there's other subjects, and there's a lot more, so we can, you know, we can talk more about, you know, some of those other things.
Sure. Okay, we're almost to close.
Yeah.
If I was to ask you, why should someone listen to this podcast or these series of podcasts that we'll be doing? How do you think the average person is going to benefit from our conversations, particularly as a Christian listener?
Yeah, two things. So the first is that I think just us having a conversation, you are a pastor, I am not a pastor. You know, I'm a pew sitter, and I wear that, you know, and I'm okay with that. You know, I think that my work in the world is important. But I think just us having, like you said, this peer-to-peer conversation and just sort of being respectful and kind and honest with each other about things that we observe, that by itself I think can be beneficial. Just hearing a pastor and a lay person sit in a room talking about different subjects. And I don't think that conversation has been had that often. In my preliminary research, just looking around for, you know, how to answer some of these questions, I found that there's a lot of pastors who have written books about how to be a Christian worker, but there aren't a lot of workers whose conversation are involved in that. And so I think it'll just be good for us to sort of sit in the same space. I could have just taken this material and written a book on my own and said, you know, this is what I think. But I think that would have been hurtful in some ways. And I think it's much more beneficial if there's two parties involved in this work. And then, you know, just the practicality of this, both, you know, I'm hoping that, that pastors may have a way to listen to this and hear some of, you know, the perspective from the people sitting in their pews who are not going to become pastors and who feel like, you know, they're doing God's work in some way, but just need some other, how do we do this in the way that Christ would want? Maybe hearing that, that perspective of like, we need a little bit more perspective from the pulpit in that way. And also for you to be able to speak to, and so for, I guess for my cohorts in the work world, that they'll be able to hear both of our perspectives on, you know, on these subjects from both perspectives.
Good.
Yeah.
Why don't we have any final thoughts?
Well, what are your final thoughts?
I would say one of them is, you know, in every business environment, in most, you have reviews where you and your work and your productivity or any potential problems, all that stuff is addressed in some capacity in a work life, in a business life. And then there's rewards and consequences usually connected to performance. In the ministry world, those dynamics are different. There's a lot of reviews that come, but they're usually not dialogue. They're usually not in the posture of wanting improvement and how do we succeed. It's usually in a different kind of posture of dislike or criticism or frustration, at least perceived on this. And there's not the opportunity for improvement or advancement has a different look on this side of the from the pulpit. So sometimes I think it's difficult to have these kind of conversations because they fall within some of those categories that pastors often deal with. It's just sensitive. It's difficult. It's like, how do you judge a meal that's been cooked for a family? That just gets weird whenever the cook is in the room, you know?
Right.
I don't like this. This could have been done better. Usually on the outside, the cook doesn't walk away going, I can't wait to make a meal for that family.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually frustrated on or defeated or whatever. So I think this is a good discipline for myself and for those listening to engage in. How do we want everything to hit the mark better. We want to equip people to do what God's called them to do. And part of that involves analyzing and looking at the performance of, are we accomplishing that? Are people going away engaged and built up and able to succeed at whatever type of life they're living? Why is there such a hesitancy between pew and pulpit to have these kind of conversations? Why are we so touchy about it? Or why are we so nervous to have that kind of critique or conversation around things that we're wrestling with? So I think this is helpful in maybe breaking that bubble a little bit and showing that you can have these conversations that don't have to end in people being offended,
right?
But people going away hopefully being able to do what they're doing better,
right?
And that's from the posture of encouragement and
right.
and betterment, not criticism and you know, an attempt to somehow derail that process. Everybody wants the business to work better.
Right.
Everybody wants the church to be more healthy and better place to be. So I think if the pulpit and the pew come together in honest and real and more raw conversations,
yeah.
not just dancing around issues, not just being polite because we're afraid to discuss something. I think there just has to be some real conversations. And I think that goes to your whole meeting thing. It's like too often meetings are just You don't leave feeling like you've really accomplished something that's going to change something tomorrow. You just spun out more time.
Right.
And no one's happy you have having been there. And sometimes church is like that too.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for being a part of this, Eric. And I'm excited to go through these subjects with you. And like you said, you know, with all due love and respect for each other, this is peer-to-peer conversation. This is about two human beings who are just trying to do God's work in the world. And how do we do it better, as far as I'm concerned? So, yeah.
I agree. Great. Okay. We'll see you at the next podcast.